Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Watch What Crappens podcast. I'm Ronnie, and today, for this very special Below Deck finale recap, I'm with the gorgeous Ryan Bailey from the So Bad It's Good podcast with Ryan Bailey. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ronnie, and to the audience. We just did a whole podcast before we started, FYI. So
we did, and you know, I could not press record because I was still getting some fish together for the fish report. So
thank God.
Priorities.
People need the fish report. That's what we're here for today.
Thank you for being here any day, but also especially on this Below Deck finale day, because this is never an easy day, not because anyone's crying that this shit's over, but because it's very difficult, the finale. It's like hugging. It's just hugging.
Yeah, it is. It's a very end of the school year vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're like, we have to say goodbye to all of these characters, some of which we've never even learned their names the entire season. And you wonder what they're going to be doing for the summer. And you get to see like this. Thank God Harry is going to be with that girl for a little bit. Like that warmed my heart. But it was.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was really worried about those two fucking basics. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to have somebody to hold hands with in the food court? I don't care.
You know, they enjoy matinee movies together. And the fact that he was like in the last episode, just kept apologizing to her. Like, I'm sorry. She was twerking on me. I'm so sorry. And he just kept apologizing. And
I was literally like, sobbed. The man literally sobbed.
And she loved it. She loved it.
She was like, you're the one for me. A man who will sob an apology. Yes, you're the one.
I mean, it's like, you know, she was getting full fanny flutters. It was amazing.
That's all she needed. This whole season, she's been like, I need more from Harry. I just don't know what it is, but I need more. And she gets him sobbing and apologizing. And she's like, that's it. Just came.
Harry reminds me of the dad, Crispin Glover from Back to the Future, but not like as the nerdy part, like one Michael J. Fox goes back and changes the future. And then Crispin Glover, like the dad has changed. He like wrote a book and that reminds me of Harry.
You know, Harry reminds me of, did you ever watch Absolutely Fabulous? I'm sorry, I'm bringing up
old shows. Ronnie, I have a note right here about the Chief Stew reminding me of like very AbFab vibes.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Harry, they did a trip where they went to Morocco. And there was this like perv that they know, this like guy perv. And he's just like, ooh, and just the way his face, like his eyebrows go all the way up. He's like, that's very Harry. And I know Harry, you know, is so nice and everybody loves Harry. And I'm not a Harry hater. I mean, Harry does seem genuinely nice, but there's just something about Harry that I don't trust. And I don't know if it's that.
Really? You will go so as far as you do not trust Harry?
I don't trust Harry. No, I'm going to say that I don't trust Harry. He seems too. He seems like sneaky or something. There's something. And also, he's a big tattletale. You know, that's another thing I don't like about Harry. He's always tattletaling. And then he's always running to the girls with all the gossip to like get everybody else in trouble. I mean, he's just not a trustworthy person, but he seems nice.
What if he comes back next season after his new girlfriend and his voice is like lowered three octaves? Like, what's up, Captain Jason? What's going on?
Listen, hey. I've seen a lot of people change in my 50 years. I've never seen anybody change that much. Have you?
No. You made a really solid point there, Ronnie. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. No, I don't trust Captain Jason.
But they don't.
That's true. People don't want to put the work in. Captain Jason is the one that sometimes I don't trust because he, to me, is just, I mean, he's so solid. I mean, he's very Tom Cruise in a way where he is just,
I'm here. I'm vaping off camera to be.
Oh, God, I guys really, you know, Captain Jason is like very Tom Cruise in the sense that Tom Cruise just wants to make films and Jason just wants to provide a good service. And he loves this yacht and he loves the Seychelles and he's very asexual to me. Like he's considered the hottest thing that Bravo has going in terms of a man. Yet you cannot ever see this guy hooking up with anybody.
You know, it's interesting because Danny Pellegrino was just here. We were in Crappy Hour together and we were talking about that article that came out in People about Bravo's sexiest bachelors. You saw that, I'm sure. Yeah.
And Tom Schwartz is like, what's up, everybody?
Yeah. Schwartz, Carl, Shep. And then, of course, the model, Beckford, coming to the new show.
Tyson Beckford was in there.
Like, legit gorge. But then you've got all these other dum-dums from Bravo. And Danny said, you know, I notice, he's like, take Tyson out of it. He's like, but you notice everybody else is kind of asexual on that. If you think about it, you've got Shep, who I said Shep's not asexual. He just comes in 2 seconds, so it doesn't really matter. It's like frat boy coming, you know?
Was it good for you?
Yeah. But Shep, I think, is too drunk to even know. But like Carl and Schwartz and...
Well, Carl is completely asexual. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so now you're saying Jason, and so that makes sense. And by the way, it's not to diss asexuality, obviously, not me. I'm like the president of it. But, you know,
I mean, I'm not screaming like you don't see me and it doesn't scream sex at all. Like I remember that BravoCon we were at a couple years ago and everybody like the whole weekend was just about getting Captain Jason laid, like not even from like the fans. It was like la la, like every panel you would go to, there would be a question where it'd be like, would you bone Captain Jason? Like that was every panel. I went to, they would just like get to a point where they would ask it like, would you hook up with Captain Jason? Where I was like, why aren't we doing Love Hotel? Let's just do Love Jason.
Yeah, they could. They could try to do one of those Shep-lationships or whatever, or relationships or whatever they did. Just hook Jason up, you know? I mean, maybe.
Do you think people know the history of Bravo as much as they should? Like, because you just said relationship, and I wonder if there are people out there still that don't realize Shep had a one season long dating show.
Yeah, well, you know, those years just keep flying by. I mean, we'll mention stuff and people are like, what are you talking about? That fight never happened. I'm like, yes, it did 15 years ago. Do you watch Bravo? But yeah, relationship, that was the first dating show I've ever seen so many people leave. They're like, nope.
Just willfully. Yeah. Everybody wants to be a reality star. And that's the one show people were like, I'm good. Actually,
I'm here.
I just realized I didn't get a lot of attention from my parents when I was younger. I
tried to kiss him. He burped in my mouth and there was a tooth in my mouth. When there was a wooden tooth in my mouth as he walked away, like, I'm out of here.
If you kiss Shep, you are going to get an immediate taste of brisket, like smoked brisket.
And some probably in your mouth because it's still on his teeth. You know, he's just one of those. Ugh, gross. But yeah, Jason is very, he's like being put forth as this sexy guy. And he is sexy, but he's good looking. But I agree that there's not a ton of like, energy dripping off there. Like the season where he's like coming out in the shirts, you know, the wet shirt, and then he's selling his kimono. He's like, oh yeah, the Captain's Lounge kimono. I'm like, please put your clothes on. I'm trying to eat. And then watch your hairy butt crack everywhere.
And didn't Laura just have like a sex dream about him like last episode or like
I don't believe that either. Do you?
I mean, yeah, because I was like, come on, you did not explain the sex dream. Like, that would have been a fun scene if she had to explain in detail to Captain Jason the sex scene.
Well, the sex scene actually was pretty funny. She's like, I imagined that we were saving children and the children had beautiful eyes. And then we fucked. I'm like, what the? You were saving children?
Oh, he wants to make eye contact with you during sex. You just know it.
Oh, God. I mean, I kind of like that. Do you? Because it keeps your eyes off my love handles. Like, just look right here.
No, like, yeah, right here, at these baby blues. Come on.
I'm looking into your eyes, and you're looking at the exit sign. I'm like, it's called romance. Finish. Get her done. Can I get some Shep timing over here, please? All right. So below deck, down under. Oh, and also, you're not only doing your own show, you are a chump these days on the Jeff Lewis radio show. Jeff Lewis says.
Jeff Lewis Live. You guys were just on last week. I get made fun of by Jeff. I mean, that's when you were, when I was watching Flipping Out, like 12, however long, how many years ago, how many decades that was, I used to love Flipping Out. And just to think that I never was watching that thinking that one day I would get completely made fun of by Jeff Lewis every week.
Right. You just watch everybody else being traumatized. Like, this is so entertaining. And now that it's your turn, you're like, God damn it.
This guy's great. Oh, cool. He's talking about my nipples and bedwetting again. Amazing. Love it.
He is harsh, man, but very funny. So love you on that. Okay. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. Hi. Okay. Hi. So now let's go over to the Below Deck Down Under season finale. My first kind of complaint is I don't need 17 episodes of Below Deck. I don't need it.
Can I tell you something that might blow your mind, Ronnie, is that you asked me to do this last week and I was like, hell yeah. And I had not watched an episode of Below Deck Med this season. And so in this past week, I have watched 17 episodes of Below Deck Med.
Ryan!
And I will, well, listen, Below Deck, like I watch Below Deck Sailing Yacht, but you know, sometimes a season will get three or four episodes in and you're like, I can't do it. I can't get in there. I don't have the time. Yeah. And then I always want to get around to it. And you asked me and I was like, oh, this is the perfect time. And I have been in Below Deck Down Underworld for the last week. And it is so funny. Like I won't have dreams about having sex with Captain Jason, but I will have dreams of like, we got to get these stabilizers. People are getting sick up here. I am fully in Below. And it's so sad because now it's over and I want to know what happens next week.
Oh, don't worry. The next one comes out next week. That's why I'm saying we don't need 17. It's on year round. Like enough, you know, I think a good 12 is good.
Below Deck is that like old faithful show. It's like, it just like, it's kind of like Summer House in the sense that it's like, it kind of exists on vibes and it's a feeder system for like, you know, it's the show that women can usually get their boyfriends or their husbands to watch on Bravo. And then they'll get enough courage to go to Summer House. And eventually years later, they'll finally hit Real Housewives. Below Deck is that safe show that I can just watch people just, you know, enter the kitchen, exit the kitchen. And that's a scene.
It's like bisexual porn is to a heterosexual swinger marriage that's like about to bloom. You know, you got to get the husband a little warmed up and then he's in there. Then the next couple of years, they're watching all the housewives. They're bent over the couch.
Did you really just reveal something so personal right now about your life? It's like those bisexual relationships where you know how it is. Like,
you know how it is. You got to slowly turn them to get their keys in the bowl. Hey, listen, you got to have a hobby. So Below Deck Down Under, here we go. How many people will say goodbye today? Let's watch. So we start with the tender being stuck on the beach.
Oh, dun, this was tough.
This was a rough one because Nate's such a nice guy, you know. He's like, all I want is a wifey and 10 babies with blonde hair. That's all I really need. And I've messed up this Tinder.
he was so flustered and frustrated, as I would imagine. I mean, if you have this job and then you get it stuck, and he already, you know, he's like, oh, Captain Jason's potentially going to dress me down for this. Like, he had a real responsibility because the people on the boat were getting sick. The stabilizers weren't working as properly as they should. So people were hurling on the boat.
Yeah. And when that happened, he's like, well, you know, the stabilizers just do that in this kind of water. And that's just how it goes. That's how the stabilizers are. They don't work very well.
Well,
how discounted is this?
But also, should it be called stabilizers if it doesn't stabilize?
Yeah, that sounds like it should have a different name for sure. Mickey Vomitalizers. Also, the guy who got this charter is named Wynn. No.
Oh, the charter.
I can't with that guy. Yeah, the main guy. He's like, my name's Wynn. No, it's not. I don't believe you. Okay, so it's stuck because, and Jason's mad. And I like when Jason gets mad this season because for the most part, he's like, figure it out yourselves. They're like, me and Serena are about to kill each other. I don't care. Yeah. Figure it out yourselves. I've got a Netflix in here. All right.
Well, he was really addicted to those M&Ms that one episode. He's like, if I open a bag, I can't stop. I can't stop. If I make him sound like John Lennon, by the way, you guys. But like, I loved that he John was addicted Lennon. To a bag of M&Ms at one point. And he's like, help yourself. Have one. You know, I'm going to keep eating them until the bag's gone.
Yeah, but you know what happens when like really healthy people start eating junk food? They turn into bitches. Like, you see, because remember how he was with Marina, and that was during his M&M phase. And he's like, how dare you? Oh, I told you to stack suitcases up and you smiled it off to me. You want to die on your sleep, wench? And I was like, oh my God, what happened to him? And then I realized it was the sugar. It was the sugar addiction.
It would be amazing if he got that M&M addiction at the first episode, and by the 17th episode, we see that he's noticeably put on 30 pounds. He's like, I'm not moving right.
I was sweating dreams. Under me belly. Sweating under me belly. Never even knew that could happen. So that was fun. So he got pissed. He's like, how could they get it stuck? Huge mistake. I showed him how to navigate. I showed him the computer. I gave them a kimono to wear for a promotional shot on my Insta. How dare they? And it turns out they just drove it too far onto the sand and it got stuck there.
Like I've never been on a yacht and I probably never will be, but I was like, that's what I see as the problem as well. You've driven it too far up.
Yeah. It seems obvious, but it's not, you know, and then he finally comes to help them and he's like, huge fuck up, huge. All right, let me give you a lesson. You got to get waist deep in the water instead of driving to see how deep it is. Can't you see it with your eyes? And he did that snake eyes thing where he's like, can't you see it with your eyes?
I bet he's one of those dudes, though. If he does talk closely to you, it is probably the most intense experience in real life. You know, like if he talks close, he's laser-like in his precision. Like, I think it's like really pretty easy going if you're watching it, but I bet in person it might be a little intimidating.
It's intimidating. It's intimidating to even watch it because he ended that. He goes, can't you see it with your eyes? At least we gave him something to laugh at. Look at them standing on the shore all laughing at you. It's like, damn, oh my God. It's like taking me back to kindergarten.
You're in the running for the disco ball helmet.
Yeah. So, you know, not a great ending. Oh, and he says that. He's like, not a great ending, guys.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments.
Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On the best idea yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention spans.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
Speaking of, let's check in on the boring couple. Brie, Harry, taking their... Oh my God! We're like executive privileged.
Harry's like, I felt a nipple last night for the first time.
We're basically married now. So we get to this thing that I hate most on these shows, where they're like, oh my God, let's have the guests play with the cleaning people.
Are you talking about the treasure hunt?
Yes, the pirate treasure hunt thing. Yeah, which at least it wasn't an Olympics. So that's what I really hate the most.
If you had the opportunity, wouldn't you just want to drink and eat and maybe jump into the water? Like, if I had to do a treasure hunt, I would be so bummed out. Like, and they're like, they're all in pirate outfits and everybody's in their costuming. Like, who's, I mean, is there a group of people out there that'd be like, that made the trip? That really made
exactly. And they do it every time. If I was in a really nice hotel and there was a knock at my door and it was the cleaning lady, it's like, okay, come outside. We're going to have an Olympics race. You against the maids. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
It's the water
with you.
It's the water version of a rage room or a murder mystery party on these shows. Like when they have to go and I'm like, no, just tell me what you guys are feeling and what the fight is. I don't need to know. I don't need to see you guys smashing things with a bat. Like I'm grown up enough to like, let's just talk. Let's just find out what's going on with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Just say like, how are you doing? How's business, Wynn? Hey, Wynn, where'd that name come from? It's not really your name. Why are you making up names for yourself, Wynn? So people get back to the boat, etc. Someone had to stay with the tinda. And so Nate, the bosun, decides he's going to stay with the tender. If you know you're going to be out somewhere in the middle of the ocean, well, it's not the middle, but you know what I mean. You're not going to be on deck. Why are you letting the bosun stay out there chain smoking, doing nothing? Isn't he kind of important?
Yeah. And he was so, and you could tell he was just like huffing and puffing for 4 hours, it seemed like. Also, like, yeah. Did you also that one part where Alicia thought Nate looked hot in the pirate outfit? Like, so he's in the pirate outfit, like he screwed up the Tinder, but he's also, Alicia is like playing games with my boy Nate. She was like, oh, he looks really hot right now.
Yeah, at the end, this is a spoiler alert. I'm sorry for everybody waiting for this at the end, but it's happening now. When Alicia's like, yeah, you know, I really like him. You know, our vibes haven't changed. He's a wonderful guy, but I'm really in love with my profession of chefery. So I just don't have room in my heart for both. What the fuck?
It's intense doing what she does. You've got to commit fully. You have to fully decide you want to commit to the life of yachting and the job that she's training for. And you don't have time for love.
Don't you? I mean, I think every chef I've ever known fucks. You really committed to that. I was like, is that true?
No,
like,
no,
I'm
that's not true at
everything.
All.
I'm no, like, wait a minute.
How can that girl
learn to chiffonade if she's out there worrying about penises?
No, the truth was she didn't want to hear things like smoochies and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's
he kept
cute,
saying see? Weird shit.
Do you think that happens when people become parents where you're like, oh God, yeah, I'm with a man. I'm with this man. And then you have a baby and he's like, oochie, oochie, little boo, did we make a little poo-poo? And you're just like,
I lost my lust for you because of how you treated our child, making yeah. baby faces.
You were too
you
cutesy
disgusting
with our child.
Pig. Yeah.
Alicia can never have children with a man. She's going to be like, oh, you want to give daddy a smoochie before? But oh, that's disgusting. Ick.
I've got to go learn my craft more now.
She said she was learning a chiffonade and she was banging other guys at the bar.
Also, I love how Nate, like, everybody was like, oh, he's going to cry really hard. He's so emotional. But Nate seemed like he was like, yeah, it's okay. Like, he seemed okay with her being, like, not into him all of a sudden.
Well, I think Nate has had a lot of experience of being dumped. Didn't it seem like that?
Yeah, where he's put a happy smile on no matter what. Like, he's a tragic clown.
He's used to it. And when he left with all that backpacking gear, you know, like, he carries in, he's just one of those guys. He's like, what a hug this morning. You know, I think that everyone thinks those guys are so cute. And then they wake up next to one and they're like, why are you kind of smelly still? Did you take a shower yesterday? And they're like, oh, sun's almost up in an hour. We better get hiking. And you're like, get the fuck out of my house, sir.
He's a wanderer. He's a guy that's familiar with the phrase walkabout. He's like, go to the walkabout.
Yeah. So I think he's used to being left. So let's see. So he stays with the tender and then, we get our first real land animal montage. So I think we should bring in the fish report.
The fish report.
The fish report.
The fish report.
All right, Ryan. So this is where we judge fish. Now, we've judged a lot of these fish already. So I took out some of the copies because I'm sick of looking at their same dresses. So we're going to mix in some of the other animals today. Let's see what we've got. First, we've got this turtle. This is the biggest attention hog of the season, this turtle.
Is that Sheena?
Corner.
That's a beautiful turtle.
Welcome to the TV in under 7 minutes.
And then you're like, okay, I'm free of that thirsty turtle. They finally gave it its last scene. And then look what we get again. The turtle again. The turtle's like, hey, everybody, I don't like Lisa Vanderpump now. Please follow me.
Good as gold, because they're good as.
Oh, I was giving you the rest.
Oh, sorry. I was waiting for that. I'm sure the audience is singing along, so I was letting the audience. No,
I thought you were doing the good as gold. So then we get to this. We talk about the stingrays a lot. I just think that this one is the dots are so well proportioned on this one.
Oh, you know, the CGI in this is amazing. The dots are, I mean, this is Avatar level. I mean, it really is a beauty to, like, I mean, do you think they get, it's like, is this second unit that films this stuff? Like, are they like, holy, I got an amazing stingray this morning? Because it is.
I think it is. Beautiful. I think they have real cinematographers who just have this job and they take themselves very seriously, probably. They're like, hello, let's discuss our shots for the day. Why don't we get a storyboard up there? What is the stingray feeling today?
Or is it just like, oh my God, guys, I've got my eye on a turtle right now. I whipped my camera out as quick as I could. I've got the turtle. I've got the sea turtle. It guys, it's glorious.
It's like
glorious.
Twister. Helen Hunt's like running to the tender. She's like, get me over there, stat.
There's a Bill Paxton on the second unit filming. And I'm like, conditions are poor, but we will get the shot, sir.
All right, we do see a stingray. We do. No, not that stingray. The one with the perfect heart-shaped ass. Where are you?
I told Ronnie, I said, listen, I love these interstitials so much. They need them on other Bravo shows. Like, if you were watching The Valley and all of a sudden they just started like doing like an aquarium with like fish, you would just like every time there's an intense like Jax Brittany scene. And then all of a sudden you see like a land shark and beautiful, like, you know, just fish in the ocean. I think it would really calm the show down.
I think that would work, except instead of fish, I think it should be like the locals to that show. Right. So the fish are the locals to this show. So on that one, it would be like, okay, everything's going on. And it would be like a study of like a tent city under the freeway, just like the gorgeous pattern tent, or like Angeline, you know, Angeline getting t-shirts out of her pink car. You know?
On the Valley interstitials was just Angeline shots of like people parking next to her. Like, you always end up parking next to Angeline in like Ralph's grocery store. And by the way, Angeline is like an icon. If you don't know who she is, you've seen her before in some point or some image, but she was at this
future. actor Erica Jayne, for those of you who don't know. She married some billionaire dude or millionaire, I don't know, back then what it was. And she wasn't really famous and she wanted to be. So she had him buy billboards of her all over town that just said, Angeline. And then she's like, looks like Erica Jayne. And she would just be posing.
And she drives a pink Corvette everywhere. Yeah. And she's very mysterious. She's much, much older now, but she was at like this show at UCB years and years ago. And you could like enter to like win, to drive around with Angeline. And I put my name in and I got a call a couple days later saying that I won. And then I realized that everybody wins because like it, you know, you can take this drive with Angeline, but then you have to buy merch from her and you have to buy over like $150 of merch. And I was like, wow. But by the way, that is kind of what I feel like future reality stars that will eventually go off of Bravo. They will end up taking you on rides in their car through Los Angeles, trying to sell you merchandise. That is
shit. If I had people who wanted to do it, I'd do it tomorrow. I do it right now.
Oh my God. You could sell rides on your Vespa. You could sell rides on your Vespa tomorrow. People would be like, I'm riding with Ronnie Karam on a Vespa today.
Oh my God. Angeline, one time I saw her ad, I was out with a girlfriend of mine and she's like, oh my God, it's Angeline. And I said, really? Angeline? She's like, yeah, I want to go say hi. I was like, all right. So we go over and she's like, oh my God, Angeline, I love you. Would you sign my, you know, I have a piece of paper in my pocket. Would you sign it? She goes, no, but if you got $20, I'll sign it.
Yep. Yes. That I took a picture with Angeline and it cost me $20.
Yeah. My friend was crushed. She was like, I can't believe Angeline.
Can't believe she's in it for the money.
I can't believe a woman who just bought billboards of herself all over town is only in it for the money.
Well, we've made the valley less dark. We're bringing Angeline on for interstitials.
Angeline should join the valley. Brittany needs somebody to talk to.
They start doing stunt casting and Brittany's like, he's just so mean to me. And she's just like, give me $20 and I'll talk.
Yeah. I'll give you advice if you give me $20 on you. All right. So that is the stingray. And then we go to.
Tangent. My bad.
No, don't be sorry. Listen, it's a finale. We can talk about whatever we want. Nothing happened. There's some Laura and Serena stuff. That's all anybody's here for. Well,
there's the whole dish debacle. I mean, the plating situation, I was almost having a heart attack during.
Yeah, that's bad. So I just wanted to show you this fish. What do you think of this fish's outfit?
This fish is like going to the sphere to see the dead. This is amazing.
This fish is on drugs for sure and just mixing and matching all sorts of patterns and face makeup.
Like, I know I'm like really cold hearted and I've turned that way through talking about Bravo for these last 5 years, but this actually is beautiful, Ronnie. Like, if you really look at this, I think this is a beautiful fish.
This is a pretty fish. I think that this fish has too much attitude and I really would have appreciated some more. They're like, well, I'm not going to match on purpose because I'm rich. You know how rich people dress? They're like, I'm going to dress stupid on purpose. And I'm like,
okay, you can tell the fish has rich parents. You can tell.
For sure. Yeah, this is a fish of privilege. So I resent it. Okay. So let's go to this next one. Okay. This is a land animal because we've run out of fish we haven't talked about. This is just a little squawky bird that's acting like it's about to die, but it was the one who chose to land on a buoy. So.
Wow. Do you think they realized, like, do they sign a release this bird? Like, is there an NDA at all?
Yes, and
do they
tell a thirsty bird.
They tell their other friends, like, oh my God, I'm on the season finale of Below Deck. If you can catch it, it's on Peacock as well.
It's on their Facebook.
Yeah, you guys.
Like, guys, I know I haven't said anything in a while, but I'm still here. And this week you can catch me on Below Deck Down Under.
You guys, I can't say what happened today, but something crazy. I will be updating my socials, but let's just say you might be seeing me on the screen very soon. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that animals are that thirsty like humans now and just like befriend Sheena and move to their town so they can eventually get on their show. This is like the Janet of birds. Like, look at this bird.
The secret lives of Mormon birds.
Because look how dramatic it's being. It's like, I'm going to land on the buoy and then scream and cry that I'm starving and no one's feeding. That's what
By the way, the bird is screaming, trying to get a line. Like, I have a line.
Line. Sluam.
Line.
There's no business like.
It's like show business. Line. By the way, please come to my cabaret. I'll be doing it next week. Please, can we talk about my cabaret, please?
Love Hotel. Love Hotel. She's like, I got to keep working out, Jeff, because I do cabaret.
Girl.
Sonia does cabaret. She doesn't have to work out.
Yeah, Sonia does not work out. Okay, so let's see. So then we get a bat. Okay, what do you think of bats? Look at this bat, how cute it is.
I'm a huge Batman fan. That's not even a joke. I just actually am. It's like the one straight thing about me. But the bat looks majestic. I love, like, the bat looks like it's wearing a leather jacket. Like, their wings are awesome.
Yes. And look, it's grooming itself. Like, we catch it grooming. It's like, when am I not grooming myself? Try and get a shot of me not grooming myself. That's why I'm fucking fabulous.
Maybe you should be taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Take note. Take note, bitch. But yeah, the leather jacket looks so good on it. It's so well maintained. The coloring on the hair looks so clean. I mean, I always thought bats were like dirty and like crusty, but not this one. It's like fuzzy and cute. Just
you can tell this bat saw Chaz Dean. The hair is so majestic.
Speaking of West Hollywood billboards, it's like, yes. Yeah.
Angeline and Chaz. Is Chaz Dean the male version of Angeline?
This bat is going to sue later. Like, hey, wait a minute. That shampoo really did something to me. Like, wait a minute, bat.
When will this go down? I look like Wes Wilson on Summer House.
West wishes. Oh, also, what are these? I didn't know bats had five fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow. I didn't know that about bats. Did you?
No, I had no clue. This is huge.
That's impressive. And also goal weight. I've always wanted to just hang upside down like that. I couldn't do it.
Oh, my God. I can't. I wish I could hang upside down. I've never been able to do a pull-up in my life.
No,
I
can't.
Have you ever done a pull-up?
And, you know, I used to back in the day, you know, because I'm like sometimes 400 pounds and sometimes 190 pounds.
Same. I'm the Luther Vandross of podcasting.
I really am too. I've lost and gained. So when we first started this, I over the years gained like 250 pounds and then I lost it and then I gained it again. And then now I lost, like, I'm crazy. So yeah, I get the going up and down. So I used to do pull-ups and then I just bought a pull-up bar again. Girl, I cannot do one pull-up. Not
you
even
went
a partial.
As far as, wait, you went as far as to buy a pull-up bar?
Yeah.
Like you believed in yourself that much that you're like, I'm going to do this. Like you,
I used to
you
do
purchase
that.
Something.
I used to, I got up to 20 a day back in the day.
Oh my God, Ronnie, what are you? Yeah. Are you juicing?
No. Oh my God. I wish vodka, just Tito's and pull-ups. No, I
He's
can't
doing
do that.
Anabolic Tito's. Yeah.
I can't do them. I'm just hanging my like latest Old Navy's on there. That's all. That's
oh, dude,
on.
my legs are like tree trunks and it's like the heaviest part of my body. So like if I could cut myself off at the waist, I know I would be able to do a pull up. It's the legs. They weigh me down completely. It's like anyways,
they say you just have to keep pulling. And I do. It's just not the bar. Okay. So then we have we've got this little crab thing. I feel like crabs get more attention than they should. Do you think it's because they can walk sideways?
Yeah. I mean, Ronnie, I'm going to say I do think it's because they can walk sideways. Like, it's a huge feature that not a lot of, I think, animals have. It's a show-off move, and I think it works for crabs. And also, they're delicious, and I think they get a lot of attention for that.
Yeah, but do they ever walk front ways, or do they only walk sideways? Because I only see them walking sideways. Look.
This, by the way, this is when you really miss the presence of Ben, because I think Ben would really know this.
Really? Yeah, Ben probably would know this. He'd know what college that thing went to. He'd be like, that crab went to Dartmouth. I know that crab. Okay, so let's say hi, Ben. Ben's not listening to this. This is the look Ben gave me right now after saying that. This bird just looked right at the camera like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm never traveling again.
Yeah, I travel one time and you make a Dartmouth joke to a crab. So I don't know what kind of fish this is, but I love an attitude-y bird.
Yeah. I mean, all that.
I mean, it's not a fish, it's a bird.
That kind of that bird neck, if you had that kind of elongated neck, you could do so many cool just attitude moves with it. And I think this bird is showing that.
It is. Look at the neck. It's like rolling its neck. Look.
I love that you guys feature this because in some ways it's more exciting than certain cast members on this show.
Yes, This is basically every look that Lara gives to Serena in this episode.
Dude, I told you, I watched all the episodes. I was like, Lara, what is going on? Like, and you didn't you guys just have Serena on?
We did. Serena came on last week and spilled a little bit on this whole situation. This just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Dealing with that person. So then look, here we have a turtle. This turtle is so gorgeous. I love this turtle's eyes. This is the hottest turtle we've had on here.
Oh, so you're actually attracted to the turtle. Like you think it's hot.
No, not sexually, but it's like a hot turtle. Like I think in the turtle world, this is a hot turtle. Like look at the shape of the eyes. It looks like it has like the cat eyes, but they're just natural. Gorgeous.
Well, turtle. To me, I see a lot of wisdom here. I think this is a wise turtle. Like, I mean, this is a turtle that's been around the block. People go to for advice, can really set you straight. But like a turtle, a few words as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'll choke. But yeah, so then we go to, and now it's eating. It's like, okay, you're looking at me. Let me eat dramatically.
Yes. Look at the power of my eating.
Yes. So now we get to, is this a basic goldfish?
What did they do? What did they just sneak in some goldfish from Petco? They're just like, we didn't have any more footage. We had to go to Petco and get some just things in aquariums.
Helen Hunt didn't get here in time to catch a perfect stingray. So we've got the little fish that we won at that child's birthday party a couple of weeks ago.
There's a little, but there's a little vibe of like a 2001 baby, you know, like the baby in utero, like you, the coloring of it.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. Like it's not fully, the skin isn't fully formed yet.
Yeah. It feels not developed.
Yeah. Like this. Look, it's kicking against the womb right now. It's like, let me out of here. Oh, I fucking hate it in here. Stop drinking wine. I know. You think I won't be able to tell people? I will remember this.
You don't have enough plates for a 7-course dinner. What are you, crazy?
I love that it took us till the season finale to find out they don't have enough forks. All right. So that was the fish report. Who's your favorite? We've got basic goldfish. We've got hot turtle. We've got Lara the bird. We've got sideways walking crab. We've got fabulous leathered bat. We've got a squawky victim bird and rave fish and stingray. What say you?
Listen, this is going to sound like, cause you, it's bat. It's gotta be bat.
I think it's the bat too. That's a fabulous bat. I love a well-groomed, beautifully leathered bat. Congratulations, bat. You actually won the fish report and you're not even a fish.
Bravo. If you're listening, spin off for this bat. Come on, Lindsay Hubbard, this bat, we put them together. Roni, come on.
And he's like, I will not put Lindsay Hubbard on Real Housewives of New York, but I will put her on that bat show.
Yeah. John Hill, did you see the bat on Below Deck? Amazing stuff they're doing over there.
John Hill's like, yeah, I goon to it. Okay, so here we go.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and Atwill Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
So we go back to the boat, everybody. Okay, so Aussie is still stuck. Nate is still stuck on the beach.
Yeah.
He's on the mountain of shame. He just wants forgiveness. So now we're to the good part. Lara goes to the galley and she asks for the plan for dinner tonight. And she's like, well, how many courses are there? And she's like, oh, but they wanted 7 courses. And she's like, 7. That's tricky up top, you know? Oh, really? Do you think it's tricky? Carrying up 7 dishes. How do you think it is making fucking 49 dishes or whatever they're going to be making?
Yeah.
Ma'am.
This Laura, I mean, like that, I was shocked because the guest specifically said seven courses, and the fact that this is even a conversation, and you're right, the fact that we're finding out on the last episode, if you're worried about plates, I mean, we're replacing deck members every couple of weeks. You don't think anybody can bring plates with them if that truly is an issue? Like this
it's
was
crazy.
And Laura just wants to have a bug up her butt about Serena. Like she, even though they made up last episode, it is so glaringly obvious. I don't know. There's like a jealousy slash hatred, and this does not need to exist at all. And the fact, if she really cares about her job, it would be, yeah, of course we're doing seven courses. That's what they asked for. End of story. Like she's going to make Serena go up and talk to the guests.
This is crazy. So she says, yeah, it's tricky up top, but you know, we've only got two sets of cutlery. Well, every course is at least, every meal is at least three courses. So if you didn't have enough cutlery for even that, why didn't you order some? That's literally your job. I can't. And I'm just on the cutlery. I haven't even gotten to the other parts. But like, girl, you don't know how much, you don't have enough cutlery to do three courses.
We've never worked on a boat, and I know about the cutlery. I mean, like, I would know immediately, like, Captain Jason, we're really looking at an issue here. Like, this is like Titanic-level emergency. Yes. We're going to run out of forks.
She's the one in charge of ordering for the restaurant supply. Get some more cutlery, for Christ's sake. Okay, so then she's like, well, you know, we don't have enough cutlery, so we'll have to wash it. I mean, did they specifically ask for seven? And she's like, yeah, could you roll the clip? So they roll the clip of them all being there in the meeting, and seven courses was announced, and Laura does not say in front of Jason, that's going to be too difficult for us. She waits so she can try and pin it on Serena later.
What this is so low-level bullshit that I'm like, why? And also, you know the cameras are on you. You know you keep saying about, like, the customer is key, you know, like, excellence in service, that this would be the thing, the hill that you want to die on. And the fact, like, you would almost be wanting the guests of, like, keep your silverware for each course. Just keep your silverware. Like, it's ridiculous. And Serena looked like she didn't, like, Serena, like, took it like a champ, but she also was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, Laura just is not like Serena this season at all.
Yeah, I think Laura decided she wasn't going to make up a Serena. She didn't like that. So she's going to try and trigger Serena into like having some kind of breakdown and making her look stupid. Because she's like, well, I don't want to do seven courses, so why don't you go talk to him about it? So she's going to make her look stupid already because she's going to make the chef go tell the guests they can't have seven courses, which of course they're going to complain to the captain and the captain's going to, you know, this glaringly obvious what she's trying to do. But instead of having a fit, Serena's like, okay, I'll go talk to the guests. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of that. I don't want it to make it look like I'm lazy, but I mean, I guess. And Laura's like, well, just tell them it's too much. Ask if seven is too many. I mean, do they really need seven? They hardly eat. So she's like, okay, well, so she goes down and she's smart because she shows Laura. And of course, Laura follows her down there to pretend she's drawing a fucking glass or something so she can eavesdrop. But she does it so that she looks like she's giving Laura her way, but then she's not really at all. She's like, so seven courses? Wonderful. Would you like to have extra forks with that?
If you're a guest on this charter, like, would you, you already saw like the tender get like, you know, almost wrecked. The stabilizers are not stabilizing. People are throwing up. And then somebody literally asks you, you know, that thing you specified that you wanted specifically, what if we did not do that? Would you be okay with it? Like, it's just, to me, that's unheard of. Like, that's laughable.
That's mind-boggling. And Laura has had some decent points through the season. Like, I don't think she's always been wrong about every single thing, but this is kind of the worst look. And it's a horrible way to end the season for her because she has no leg to stand on now. Like, what a dumbass. Oh my God.
Because Captain Jason wasn't there for that scene. When he watches these back, is he like, blimey? Like, is he upset when he's like, I can't believe that happened on my watch?
I think he knows what she's like because remember the last episode when he was like, all right, we should have a talk because you keep making the little comments. Yeah. So obviously he's like, I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, so just say what you have to say. So I think he knows who he's dealing with and he's just like, whatever.
He's a Jedi.
He just won't hire her again. I don't see her ever getting hired. Because sometimes it's fun when you have a personality that's like, you know, like snarky and sarcastic. I mean, obviously, you've got Kate Chastain, the queen of this show. So you've got her and you've got like Hannah's and people like that.
And Asia,
get away with it.
Yeah.
Well, Aisha's not really snarky. But, you know, you've got people who can kind of get away with that snarkiness. And this girl just can't because she also sucks.
I will say, though, Aisha through the years, like this, like Aisha's developing a very fun snark, like a very really beautiful snark. Like there is like it's a really like it's a snark that everybody can appreciate, but it is definitely there. And it's like I can't wait to see that crystallize over the next couple of years.
Well, she's definitely not taking anybody's shit anymore, which is nice. Because she used to just be, oh my God, are you mad at me? You're mad at me. I'll do all the dishes myself. I'll clean them with my tongue. I'll clean them with my tongue. And now she's like, no, I don't want to do it. So we go back to Lara. Lara's spying on Serena. And Serena's like, all right, you're going to have seven. And one of the ladies is like, well, is this going to be like all night if we do seven? So it sounds like she might get out of it. Serena could have been like, okay, well, we can do less. But instead, she was like, all right, well, why don't we just make smaller portions then for that? And I was like, yes, go get them. Go get them, Serena.
Also, I mean, listen, we could have doubled up some of that. Did you see that? I mean, the dish was beautiful, but the asparagus with the salmon
and asparagus, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It was one big asparagus, you guys. Like, come on. Like, we might be, now I'm going to go the other way. We might be abusing plates that we have. Like, we are not using these plates to full effect. It was, and by the way, as a guest, I'd be upset. I'd be pissed. I'd be like, oh, is there going to be leftovers later? Because one asparagus, and it looked beautiful. Like, it really looked like a well-cooked asparagus, but still, just one per plate. There's so much more geography on that plate not being used.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the roe. There was also, the fish eggs.
My fish eggs
on top of the asparagus. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Agreed. So she's talking to the guest. She's like, okay, well, we could do smaller portions. And she's like, and also if you do, I won't feel mad if you don't want to finish a dish. And also if you've got a piece of silver and you don't like it, throw it on the ground. We'll wash it. Someone will wash it. Don't worry about that. So Lara's pissed now because she's kind of heard what's going on. And she's like, this woman is unhinged. You're fucking unhinged. I cannot believe you. I cannot believe the goal of you. So she's like, well, this is the most difficult thing of the season. We don't have enough plates, which puts more pressure on me and my department. I'm going to bite Serena's head off. Then order more plates. You are just highlighting on how much you suck at your job at this point. I feel like before now, everybody's been able to say, well, Lara does a pretty good job and she works. You're really highlighting that you kind of suck right now, ma'am.
And highlighting that I think she is just, making Serena's life very, very difficult on purpose in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. So now they've got to get dinner ready, okay? And then one of the guests is like, wow, you guys think I could do this job? I don't know. This looks like a hard job. And his wife goes, honey, no. You have gout.
Dude, I wrote that down. That was like because they didn't really focus on the passengers too much, but it was like, no, honey, you have gout. It was like the perfectly delivered line. It was truly, by the way, I do sometimes think like, could I even do the serving of the food? Like, what job would you be good at on Below Deck?
Well, I've been a waiter for a long time, so I could do that one. And I mean, I could probably learn some of the cleaning stuff. The cleaning stuff is harder than it looks, for sure.
Do you think they have to
iron the sheets and shit? Ooh.
Do you think they let you listen to like, can you put like one AirPod in while you work? Like, that's what I keep, when I watch that show, I'm always like, could I listen to my audiobooks while I clean? Like, that's the stuff I think about watching these shows is like, oh, could I listen to a podcast while I clean? That would make it easier. I'm already trying to get out of ways to, or trying to make it easier on me.
I don't think there's any job now in current days where people don't listen to their music or something. I feel like even when you like call the bank, they're like, hello, hold on. Press 1 for Spanish, 2 for English, 3 if you think Adnan really did it. Okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. Hold on a second.
Because Captain Sandy wouldn't let you have an AirPod in. She'd see that. She wouldn't want you to be having a good time like that.
Well, you'd have to come to her with the right way. You'd have to be like, Captain Sandy, I found this device. It needs to be hugged. And I feel like my ear could hug it really well if I just stuck it right in there. She'd be like, oh, my God, let your ear hug that thing.
She goes, 20 years ago, I'll tell you a story. I needed a hug. Okay. I'll tell you that story. And it really changed my life. And now I'm here. So, of course, wear that AirPod. Wear it proudly. I love it.
I was on a cruise. You know, we were doing a yacht trip through Iraq during Desert Storm. And the terrorists were trying to get on board. And I said, come here. I hugged every last one of them until they just jumped into the sea.
That's what they needed. I mean, diplomacy go out the window. Have you tried to hug them? Have you tried to hug these weirdos? Have you? Because that's what they needed. We're friends to this day. They call me Sandy. I don't even make them call me Captain.
They're not even called terrorists anymore. Now they're called huggerists.
They're called friends. That's what they're called. They're called friends. Yeah.
They still wear vests, but their vests are made of hugs.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, on the street, they call it a suicide vest. But no, it's a hug vest. That's what it is.
It's a hug-a-side. This poor Nate is still stuck on the beach, which is hilarious.
They do keep cutting to him, like, looking frustrated. Then you can see that his skin's getting redder. Like, it's just like the sun's really setting in.
And finally, some really nice random guys are like, your boat looks stuck. And he's like, it is stuck, mate. And they're like, all right, we'll do it. And so these big, hot men just get out and push the boat out.
It was very Zoolander for a second, because then part of me was like, are they going to, like, I was like hoping that they were going to steal the tinder. Of like, we've got it. And then just steal the tinder. And then, because I was like, this can't be the season finale fighting over plates. I was like, there's got to be something more. Like I kept looking for a storyline that just wasn't going to exist.
If they rode that tinder, if they drove that away, I would root for them. Because honestly, you come to some dumbass who's gotten stuck in the sand. Like, yeah, I'm taking your tinder, mate. Sorry, buddy. All right. So Nate comes back and Jason's being very stern. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, that could have been hell to pay. He's like, I'm just bashful. My mistake. Want a smoochies? And he's like, you bounce back. But it only happens once. You'll never feel so stupid again. I hope you never forget how they laughed at you on that beach. Now, take some pictures in this kimono for my Insta. Come on. I'll tag you.
I thought he was going to get nasty. And he was like, you learned something. You did it. You learned. You'll never do it again. I love you. Like, it was so, I was like, okay. I was like that. But I feel like they do respect Captain Jason. But I would like to see him like lose it.
Yeah, he was kind of hands off for most of the season. But then when he does need to come in, he's like, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired as well. Everybody leave. All right, good luck, everybody.
Yeah. He got upset when that jet ski capsized. He's like, this is a $20,000 jet ski.
But he still didn't even give that guy who put out the leaky jet ski, he didn't even give that guy the disco helmet. I'm never going to forgive Captain Jet. You know, I hold on to petty things, but I'm like, how did you not give Vihan the disco helmet?
The disco helmet, just ruling this disco helmet over everybody's heads like this, and people get real, like, people live or die over this disco helmet. Like, the lore of the disco helmet and the fact that it is such a big deal, I loved it.
Yeah, it's a huge thing here. Oh my God, how it traumatized Lara last week. And then she didn't even wear it. She never wore the disco helmet and she never got called out on it either. You know, there are certain things I need to be fixed on this show. Like, call Lara out. Call her out.
And by the way, that's just, I mean, to jump ahead, Serena gets the disco helmet and she loves it. She's been asking for it all season. And that's the difference between Serena and Lara, is that Serena is wearing it proudly. She wants the disco helmet, where Lara thinks it's like an assault on her character.
Yeah, a sense of humor about yourself. People, come on.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.